Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you every Tuesday here from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Atlanta Business Radio X. And this Shrimp Tank has been an unbelievable show. We've had not only great kids come on and present unbelievable ideas around their business, but we have been interviewing some of the brightest and best business owners, not only in Atlanta, but across the state of Georgia. We've heard live pitches on here. We've heard things about mosquito businesses and real estate businesses and all kinds of stuff. And I encourage you that if you have not heard one of the Shrimp Tank shows, you should go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You can hear all of the replays and see some unbelievable post-wrap-up videos. You want to get a quick tutorial on how to become a better entrepreneur, watch the videos on our site on shrimptankpodcast.com, and you're going to see some unbelievable stuff. So we're going to find out today. We've got some of our young sharks on here today, and we're going to find out a little bit about whether their business will sink or it will swim in the tank. I'm sitting here every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Center for Entrepreneurship at Kennesaw State University. What's going on today?
Ted, good to have you in the driver's seat again.
We're back.
Been a little bit.
We're
back. It's good.
I've been on the road here running my own businesses.
Yeah, there you go.
I was telling these guys today that it's a funny thing about entrepreneurship that you can start something amazing with just a little bit of money. And a couple of years ago, I had a social media business that was tiny. I put about $10,000 into it. And a couple of years later, it's going to do $1 million in sales. That's fun. That's the fun part of this. Not only do you get to help a lot of people, but you get paid to do it.
Absolutely. You can do good by doing good.
That's right. And I'm excited that you're going to come in a few weeks and be able to speak at KSU. I'm excited
yes,
about
Ted
that.
Is going to be the guest speaker. Of course, Lee already did that. So you're following in his wake. So you got to make sure that you bring the heat like Lee did.
That's tough. I see the difference is I'm going to let the kids ask questions. I'm just not going to talk. I'm not going to talk for an hour and a half. That's the difference on there. But I am going to bring something interesting. We'll tease it up for that class called the Economic Income Value Grid. This is something
economic value income grid.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm going to show you this grid. So I actually look a little bit like a professor that day. And I'm going to show about the supply and demand laws and what happens in America and how you make income. So it should be interesting.
That's awesome. The EVIG.
The EVIG.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that a thing now? Yeah.
See, Hanks always comes up with these in the show. It was Boss Hole from the get-go.
Boss Hole, yeah.
And many, many more that have come. Now, we've got some great guests on today. We've got Caleb Adams on today. We've got Anastasia Roberts on today, and we've got Brittany Lee. Did I do that right today? Lai on today, and we're going to talk to you in a little bit about their businesses. You need to listen to this whole show because we heard these folks get to speak not more than a month or a month and a half ago at Mill Creek High School, and it was an unbelievable program. The presentations they did were phenomenal. The businesses were phenomenal, but we always like to start off the show, Chris, talking a little bit about what's going on in the entrepreneurial world. And I thought, you know, given that you are all coming on the show today, one of my first questions I had, and I don't know what Chris sees in the classroom every day, is how much of an impact for a new entrepreneur does this world of social media have today? Is it really a fad, or is this something that every new entrepreneur must think about when they get into their business? What do you think?
I don't think this is a fad. I think that this is something that's sticking around because you see, if you look at the insights of millennial generations and the Gen Y generations, these are people whose entire lives are revolved around social media and that aspect of bringing that into their community. This is part of their behavior and who they are. So I do believe that this is not just a fad. This is something that our future generations, which includes us sitting here today, are going to take forward. And it's just going to be a normal everyday part of our lives going forward.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add to that by saying, I actually have several blogs and I kind of run a series of blogs through and I use social media to, you know, promote these things. And in total, I've got, you know, almost 200,000 people in these. And I'm able to get out a really good message because of this. And people really enjoy these things. And I think they connect to it more than they do things outside of social media.
Lee wants to know if he can have a free ad for his company on the blog. Is that the...
I don't know about that. But
nothing is free with 200,000 followers on there. And Brittany, how do you see it, you know, in the world of social media today?
I think social is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And I also do feel like our generation's actually moving towards the point where we're not even using desktops anymore. We're going to be using apps for almost everything. The challenges for us as entrepreneurs or business owners in general is figuring out how to monetize that social. Because, I mean, we see the aging demographics of Facebook and not being able to monetize on Twitter and apps like that, and you know, trying to figure out Snapchat, where are the kids now? So I think moving forward, the emphasis for businesses should be on how to use these social media.
And Chris, is this part of the curriculum when, you know, you get a degree in entrepreneurship? Is social media now part of this overall infrastructure for, you know, becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, it is part of it in the context of how do you market your business without talking about these kinds of things and having a grasp on that? Because how do I use that to send my message? And it does change things. Like, for example, with social media, there's so much information out there. And attention spans are getting more rare. Like, so I can pump out a lot of information and, hey, follow me. But attention is a special resource. So now how do I manage that? And how do I cut through all of that clutter and really connect with you in a valuable way? So things like that are becoming, you know, I can't just give you the, hey, my competitive advantage is we're really great at customer service and blah, blah, blah. You know, just all that same stuff. I've got to resonate differently and I've got to be compelling and provocative.
It seems so dominant in this world of the Politico today that's going on, that you're seeing these races, and that I'm wondering if people even hear what the candidates say, or does social media and media literally, no pun intended, trump what's going on in the entire discussion today? I hardly know if anybody even knows the issues. I think more they're wondering about, you know, who made what joke about who last night, but it's interesting. Now, you're listening to the Atlanta Business Radio X. You're here on the Shrimp Tank that we bring to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm sitting here with my co-host Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkin. And we've got some great guests on today. These were three unbelievable individuals that presented business ideas to us up at Mill Creek. And when we get to our second segment today, you're going to get to hear a lot about their businesses. I'm interested in your guys' thoughts about this. So a lot of people are at college now, and they're deciding about whether or not they want to open a business. I'm wondering today if you have some suggestions, not your businesses, but other ones you have seen that somebody could start for a small amount of money out of their dorm room. I didn't prep you on this at all, so I'm curious of what you see. I'm going to tell you that way back in the Stone Ages, when I went to school from 1987 to 1991, I did have one of my roommates that made a boatload of money selling boxer shorts going door to door. I'm pretty sure he made them for about $1 and sold them for about $10 at the time. But what would you tell somebody who's a budding entrepreneur that's listening to the show today? Like, you're in your dorm room, you got an idea. Is there anything you see that's pretty cool out there that can make some money?
Well, this might not be that cool, but one thing I noticed when I was on Amazon one time is that long Ethernet cords, if you cut them up to the same length as the short Ethernet cords, you can sell them for more as the short ones. So you could just cut up cords and then sell them again. I noticed that one time.
So we've got the Ethernet cord business. That's in there.
I see people using their talents. I'd say find something you could do with your hands, like I did with hair. I see people taking pictures, graduation pictures for people and making money on it, decorating graduation caps. Using their creativity to, like, and, you know, designing tattoos, making artwork for rooms, all that.
I overheard some guys talking in the hallways on UGA campus recently where they were talking about hangover boxes. Delivering boxes that help.
Does that have like emergency in it and stuff like that?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, and just going around and selling it. And it really, I mean, they were just joking, but it sounded brilliant. You know, you go around and sell those for $25, $30 right before everybody gets up for their tests and stuff that next day, and you've made a killing around campus.
I think that's how some of the best ideas start. You know, it sounds silly, and you're like, wait, that's actually kind of neat.
Yeah, I actually had students at University of Georgia when I was there do that exact same thing. So they did the hangover boxes, and ironically, they had a Chick-fil-A biscuit in it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Man, I love Chick-fil-A.
No Mark Richt autographs in there now. No, that's out. That's not in the box. It's interesting to see this evolving out here. I'm wondering if you see that in your generation now, that there are people that actually go on and try and use their talents on websites like Fiverr and things like that. Are you seeing people that are trying to pick up loose change for the weekend or pay their way on a spring break by using some of these places that they can loan their stuff or use it like a website like Fiverr? Do y'all see that at all or no?
Maybe not so much with, actually, we've discussed putting a tent in our backyard and renting it out with Airbnb before.
Yeah, why not? Works well during Masters Week.
Yeah, it might. But I still see a lot of, at least my roommates and my friends, we're all kind of involved in the business scene. We try to start little things. Selling stuff on eBay still, I see that as being like,
well, I wanted to give you one last question here to ponder in the opening segment. I wrote an article about 3 years ago for the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, about half the people loved it and half the people hammered me. And here is a serious question, because I brought this up at the time, and I'm wondering what you think about today. Now, you may or may not, if you have kids, right? And here's one of the questions today. So you have a kid that's born, and people buy them a lot of crap. You know, when I say a lot of crap, there are things you need, diaper genie, you need onesies, you need all these things. But is it important to get a child today a domain name? Is that going to matter today? Is it smart to get them their domain name now that they have .xxx and all this other stuff that you can buy out there? Is that a good business move for a parent or a grandparent to have for their child?
Absolutely. My boys actually both have email accounts. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they both have emails. And,
no kidding.
And it's through their school. Their school has set that up. So that is something. Right. That's an area of which they're going. And absolutely, you know, I want to set a good foundation for them. And so I don't see any reason.
Chris, no homework comes in the trapper keeper anymore. It doesn't work like
yeah.
that.
And that's an outdated term for sure. Trapper keeper.
You like so, that yeah. one.
Yeah.
That was your flashback for the day. What about, do you think domain names are important to get for, you know, a newborn? Or?
Yes. So I'm kind of in between on this. I'm not really sure because I haven't really thought of the issue and I'd like to think about it more. And I certainly will be later. Yeah, I'd say I'd lean to the same reason. I think it's great that public schools or and schools in general go ahead and do that. I think that's definitely the right move. It's a safe move.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I also haven't done the research into that, but it seems important considering like if you do want your child to go into business. And I think creating an email account and online presence is important. I'm not so sure to go as far as your own domain name as an infant or a kid. You let that child choose their destiny. You know, I bought my own domain name and it was a very proud moment for myself to have my domain name. Cool, I have a unique name too, so right. I got mine.
I'd also like to add that if you're going to enter the tech industry at all, you need a domain name.
You do.
You absolutely need. If you're going to be a designer, modern designers design for the tech industry. You have to have a place where you can showcase all of your work. I have a domain name that I post all my work. It's a website. It shows everything I'm doing, links to everything that's happened already. And I think that's really important if you're going to be in the digital age.
So now I'm curious as to why you got hammered for that.
Why I got hammered for it? You know, there was somebody on there who clearly had more intellectual knowledge about where the internet was headed and basically told me that domains were going to be completely outdated in the future and not even used. And I was stupid for even thinking of it. And then I thought, hey, I got in the Wall Street Journal and you didn't. So I couldn't have been that dumb when I wrote it. But, you know, these things come up, you know, I got hammered for many articles I've written in there, Chris. So, but, you know, at some point when you're in social media, I've always felt you have to pick a side. That's the idea of social. You can't be Switzerland on there and get a lot of people to follow you. You got to pick a side on an issue. And that's what gets people talking. That's why it's called social media and not boring media. You know, it's what it's all about.
And it's always easier to be a critic than a writer.
Well, we're going to come back to you after the break. We're going to get a word from our sponsors here in Atlanta Business Radio X. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank. After this, you need to stay tuned in here because we're going to hear from Brittany and Anastasia and Caleb about what happens with their business. And I'm going to tell you what, would you have ever thought about becoming a dorm room beautician? You're going to find out right after the break.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. My name is Ted Jank, and I'm your co-host sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder of the Center for Entrepreneurship at Kennesaw State University. I got to tell you what, more and more what I hear around the city of Atlanta is the buzz. And that buzz is fun of what's going on at that university and what Chris is doing at this program with young people that really want to get into being an entrepreneur. And if you listen on shrimptankpodcast.com to the business owners that we've had in here, you're just going to see unbelievable things. People that, you know, one day basically said, enough's enough. I'm going to become an entrepreneur and I'm going to make it happen no matter what. Any new things going on at the school?
Always new. Like an old Love Boat reference. It's always exciting and new. You get that reference? Since you brought up Trapper Keeper,
love,
I thought I'd throw that.
Exciting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So no, always new stuff. We are right in the midst of so many things. The main thing, which I know we talked about on the show before, but tomorrow night is going to be a bloodbath at KSU because that's when we have a cutting round for KSU top 100. Yeah, it's going to be brutal. We are going to ruin a lot of self-esteem in that room and a lot of dreams. because we start off with 100 business owners and we are working it down to one who's going to get the $100,000.
Wow.
And
100 grand real cash?
100 grand.
Not in pesos.
Part of it real cash, part of it services, and part of it equity.
Wow.
So it is brutal because I know Wednesday night, we are going to be down to our final 20. And it's going to be tough because a lot of people worked very, very hard and are very excited. So that's this week is full of KSU Top 100, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I recommend you get down there at some point. The university itself is exploding, but what's happening down in the colleges and what they're doing in the university is unbelievable. So we've got our three business owners that are on here today that we all got to hear, Chris, Lee Heisman, and myself, and many, many students at Mill Creek High School. It was really an unbelievable night at DECA. And we thought we'd have our owners on today, our entrepreneurs, to talk a little bit about what's going on with their business. You could hear a little bit more about it. And then you're not going to want to miss our final segment when we go through a plead the fifth and a hot or not lightning round with these folks. So I want to start with you, Caleb, that you've got your business, Spacey Sciences or Spacey.io, as we talked about. And I wonder if you might be able to tell folks just a little bit about what the business is and how it works.
Right. So we bring space and astronomy to everyone. So our main specialties are two things. We design small satellites for low Earth orbit, and we make high-efficiency remote-operated telescopes that you can control over the internet. And so we've been working on the small satellites recently. We actually are now technically a DoD contractor. So,
really?
So we work with the Air Force, and we're doing that right now. We're in a development period of about 3 years right now to develop a small satellite. It's going to be able to map terrains for them.
Now, how do you get clearance federally to become like a small satellite maker? Aren't there like three guys in a dark suit and some glasses that come in and say, hey.
It's lots of paperwork.
Is it a lot of paperwork?
It's a lot of paperwork. And and so we fly out to these places with the Air Force and whatnot. And we're actually doing this for UGA as well. So it's not it's not just the Air Force. And so we'll fly out to places in Albuquerque where they have lots of experimental facilities. And they'll brief us on such and such, and then we come back here.
And how do you monetize this business? I mean, how do you make money doing it? Just those are out there. I mean, I'm not sure everyone's getting up every day and saying, hey, I'm going to get into the satellite business. If one was going to or dealing with this, I mean, how does the business actually monetize? How do you make money from it?
Well, it's certainly in a period of rapid expansion. We were talking about 3D printers before the show, and it seems that has been experiencing a period of rapid expansion recently. It's a bit like that, where a new technology has emerged, where we can now cram so much science into such a small space, and we've never been able to do that before, that everybody wants to be able to hitch a ride. And so we can basically give people, people will be like, hey, I want to pay you to put my experiment on this or such and such. And that's how we plan to monetize.
Now, when you start this kind of business, it seems to me, Chris and I have talked about on this show, that one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make is that they're generally undercapitalized. You know, they don't have enough funding to get their business up and going. Don't you need a ton of funding to get the kind of business you're talking about started? And how did you even go about getting money to create this stuff? I got to imagine it costs a decent amount of money to make a satellite.
I mean, we're totally still in that process. I'm even going to be frank here. We're not even a third of the way there to where we need to be for that. But we have a lab space. It's very large. We have the computing power we need. We have the simulation power we need. We have enough money to build all our test boards and our test rigs. And so that's really, if you make it past that step, people are going to look at you very seriously and start considering you for production. And so now we've gotten to that phase, I feel like that's over the hump, if I've answered your question nicely.
Yeah. And what's the end goal with this? If you're successful at the end of it, what will the business look like?
Well, one thing we're actually doing right now is we're trying to target ham radio operators. And so these are people that really enjoy communicating with satellites sometimes anyway. And so we'd like to target that group and kind of get them involved and say, look, like, what if you guys... What if a group of 20 of you had your own? And there are more than 100,000 ham radio operators.
What?
Just in the country.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know Radio Shack is closed, but I imagine these are the people that go to Radio Shack and
and this expensive,
hey, one of these
expensive
devices?
Equipment. Yeah.
What do they do with them? What do they do when they communicate with the satellites?
We're still doing market research. I'll tell you later. So that's a big group we're trying to target right now, see if we can get them involved.
That's crazy cool stuff. You know, you have to think about this. This is just tells you that sometimes you're going to be in your dorm room, or you may have graduated school, or you're in the midst or throes of running your own business right now. And you're asking yourself, does this business idea have any merit at all? I mean, so when you started going through this, how did you bounce it off of someone to say, did this have, does this have any merit at all for being a business?
Well, the idea kind of started, I was talking to one of my roommates, actually started in two ways. One day I asked someone, how do you even ping a satellite? How do you even talk to it? And I had no idea. And the next day I was like, it can't be that hard to get a tennis ball into space. It turns out it is. But and that's kind of how it started. And then from those questions of, you know, how hard can it be to do this? We started developing business ideas. We started moving forward with that.
Wow. That reminds me of that George Bernard Shaw quote, you know, that all progress depends on the unreasonable man, because the reasonable man sees things as they are, and the unreasonable man sees things as they should be. The reasonable man sort of adapts himself to what should be. So like, what is possible? More powerful question than sort of what is. Mm.
Now, we also heard that evening out at Mill Creek High School from Brittany Lai. I was really fascinated by this because she came up with this concept called the dorm room beautician. You know, I was thinking to myself when I went to college, did I even get a haircut? I don't remember. I might have, you know, it depends how bad the hangover was, Chris, really. Just depended. But you typically would get a haircut when you go home and your mother said to you, your father said, hey, you better get a haircut. I think that, you know, it'd be great for you to share with the folks listening to the Shrimp Tank today about how you came up with this idea. Like, how did you even spot this need and create the business?
By doing it myself. So I have operated as a freelance hairstylist on UGA's campus for like 3 years. And I do it because people need me to. I started doing my, so I have Afro-textured hair. And what's cool about Afro-textured hair is you can do tons of stuff with it. Like you can do braids, you can do weaves. There are so many ways to attach hair and do different things. And this came out of a necessity for the Afro-textured hair community to more conform to straight hair, et cetera. So you learn how to do all these cool styles. I have an African lineage. I learned African hair braiding. So I came to school and I was doing my own hair and people kept asking me to do theirs. And at first I didn't want to, and then I did it and I learned I can make some money on it. And so I would just literally have people in my dorm room washing their hair over my tiny little sink in my dorm room, conditioning and braiding and doing that whole thing and making some money on it. But then I was like, that was how I got my hair done as a kid by college students. And there were other girls like me doing that. But I mean, doing it is such a hassle.
Like, it's tough.
It is. You're managing clients, you're accepting money in all different types of ways. You're getting, people are reaching out to you on everything. Like it's all word of mouth, a very disorganized system. The hair braiding industry is not regulated in many states. It's a very—
So you don't need a cosmetology degree or anything like that?
No, really? Not to braid or weave or lock Afro-textured hair. It's not actually taught in cosmetology schools. And it's actually, there's actually a group litigating against laws in states that do require you to have a cosmetology degree.
Really?
It's like they just had some, a law overturned in Maryland. They're working in Texas now. It's in the problem is braiding hair isn't taught in cosmetology school. So why waste the money to go learn how to cut really straight Caucasian textured hair mm-hmm. when you want to be styling Afro textured hair?
And it's just a totally different mm-hmm. process.
Yeah. In fewer words. Yeah. It's a very different process. So yeah, I made money on it. And then I was like, okay, well, other people can do it too. How can we make this better? I was just annoyed with how disorganized the system was, and the DRB is there to organize it all. It's there to make the system better. It's to give you a marketplace and options in your area so you're not going off of just word of mouth, to have more confidence in both the stylist and more credibility in the stylist, but to make it so much easier for the client to find and pay you. Make your side hustle easier, I guess. Like, that's pretty much it.
So what's been the hardest part for you as far as launching this business?
Oh, gosh. Learning about entrepreneurship and learning the why to the how a lot, because it was so easy to run away with ideas and what we can do with it. But it was, you know, do we have the know-how to do it? Can we get the right people to build these things for us? How much money do we really need? Because at first you think, I don't need any money. Then you think, I need a bunch of money, because everybody tells you to turn to investment and start doing pitch competitions. And, you know, after you talk to a few developers, you don't need much money.
Did something change since we did the DECA program? Did anything evolve in your business, or did you have a change of mindset about how you're running your business since that convention we did?
Yeah, we have been. So since, as far as the platform is concerned, we've added the ability to submit a style and are connecting people manually. So we make about 2 or 3 connections a week manually. Just literally somebody submits, they need something done, we connect them with somebody in the area who can do it with them, do it for them. So we're not making any money on that, but we are learning a lot about the black hair industry and how stylists operate themselves, which is very important because they're our main client. We want stylists to stay on our site, correct? So we have to figure out what makes them, like, you know, what makes you want to stay? How do you operate? Especially working with such a niche community. So we've been at the Bonner Brothers Hair Show talking to stylists, talking to people who've owned business, who've owned salons and how their stylists operate, talking to them, just learning so much more. That's really where we're developing. We're focusing on recruiting stylists at schools and getting more submissions so that we can have that user base once the profiles launch.
And what's your long-term goal for the business? If you look out to, I asked Caleb, I'm curious what your thoughts are. And you know, what's your long-term goal right now? Besides world dominance, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say like world domination. It's going to be everywhere. our goal is to get the DRB going at UGA and then to spread to the 10 states where you don't need a license and then to continue into the other states. We want the DRB to be nationwide, but we also want it to have other channels. You know, you can cultivate the energy and intelligence of a collegiate community, especially a minority collegiate community, in so many other ways. So in the future, we do see the DRB, of course, operating as business and making money, but definitely operating also as a philanthropy and being able to give back to communities around colleges and universities.
It's a truly unbelievable story. These two, it's just amazing stuff. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can always hear a replay of this broadcast if you came in late on shrimptankpodcast.com and see all of the wonderful business owners that we've had on here in 2016. We have many, many more to come. We just booked one in a few weeks that's going to come on that has a business called Honeysuckle Gelato. How about that for a name? But I saw the website. It looked unbelievable, really. But I want to turn to our third entrepreneur here, Anastasia Roberts, who's got a business called Nourishing Business Solutions. And I'm curious to just start off as an initial question here, like, how do you start a business as a single mom? How do you do that? Because that sounds hard.
I think that's just it right there, is being a single mom. You know, I have two people that depend on me, three if you include myself. And so I just realized that there was freedom out there. I saw people around me, entrepreneurs that I had seen who had this incredible freedom to be able to manage their time how they want to and do what they want to. And so that kind of motivated me to do that. And I just studied. I did as much research as I could. And I, you know, did a lot of looking around on the internet and a lot of observing people that I saw around me that were successful and just trying to follow in their footsteps and see that there's freedom out there for me and there's freedom out there for my kids. And that motivation was enough to where I was done. I was ready to start on my own and find that freedom too.
But not only are you a single mother, but you're also a student. And so how do you focus on what matters most? Because I imagine you don't have enough time in the day, like all entrepreneurs, to get everything done. But I guess you have to focus a little bit more than others. So what's the secret to that?
I just really budget my time well. One thing that I do is I make a plan and I stick to it. I'm really big on actually writing down your goals, making lists and things like that. I know that's kind of a personality trait, but I make a list of what I'm going to do today and I don't go to sleep till it's done. And I make sure that I budget my time to where it gets done. And with that motivation of knowing that my education is not just for me, it's for my children as well. And that helps me to kind of focus on school more and even justify that, you know, to be able to justify going to college and pouring into that. And so I just ensure that my time is budgeted well and I don't waste my time. I don't really watch TV much. I don't really, you know, do a lot of things like that. I really make sure that my focus is on my priorities, which is on school and on my kids and on my business.
You missed out on the Bachelor final.
I did. But I saw on social media what happened. So
that's right.
I got caught up.
There you go. It's pretty typical, isn't it? Guy gives girl a ring, then they break up 2 weeks later, then the next season of The Bachelor, something like that.
Yep, there we go. See, I didn't even need to watch it. Save myself 30 minutes.
I need to do that for KSU Top 100. Maybe do the, since I mentioned we're going from 50 to 20. So maybe I just need to get 20 roses.
20 roses? I like that idea.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then next season, Lee said he would come on as The Bachelor at KSU. He would do that. Tell people just quickly here, because we want to get to our last section, our lightning round, and talk about how to not. What is the business about? How do you make money? How'd you come up with the idea for it?
Okay. I had really been thinking for a while that I wanted to start my own business, and I love marketing. I'm probably too nerdy about it, actually. And so I do a lot of research on my own. And I started seeing that one of the things that a lot of businesses I feel like are missing out on is that touch of millennial. And that's what I am. I am a millennial. And so I realized I have something that I can offer to them. It's not just my education. It's not just my experience, but who I am, you know, just in my upbringing. I'm a millennial. I understand the way that we think. And I found that you see a lot of, especially bigger corporations and businesses that are wanting to market to these groups that don't even really understand them. And so you have your digital immigrants and then you have your digital natives. And I'm kind of in the middle between those two. And I realize I've got something to offer with that. And so the business that I have is, you know, Nourishing Business Solutions.
What's a digital immigrant? I never heard of that before. What's a, is that someone, so they don't come through Ellis Island. That's for sure. Yeah. What's a digital immigrant?
So digital natives are people who are born as like into this digital world. And digital immigrants are the people that are a little bit older.
Right. Like my mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, or she's still asking for the pictures. I keep telling them they're on like Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, but she still asks for pictures.
Yeah.
So she's an immigrant.
Yeah, and the people that watched the internet start, you know, those are people who have adapted that, whereas like me and my children, we were born into this. This is something
she thinks you're an immigrant too, but she's being polite.
I am.
So it's wrong. True. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It's okay.
I might be a Snapchat immigrant, something like that, you know? Very cool stuff. Well, just tell us last, where do you see your business going down the road? Where are you going to take it for the next step? Has anything evolved since we did the DECA program?
Yeah, I've actually recently been working with a local Boys and Girls Club. And I found that that's an area that I really like working with because they're in desperate need of that. They're people who are focused on the social aspect, but don't necessarily have the business background. And so I found that this is the area that I really love to work with, is these smaller type businesses and organizations that really don't know what they're doing and kind of need that extra help. And long term, where I'd like to see this business, you know, years down the road, is I'd like to see it as an umbrella company with many smaller businesses under it, like an SEO company under it, you know, just marketing consulting under it, all those areas that are within the digital realm, and Nourishing Business Solutions sort of being an umbrella over all of those.
Well, I know I'm an entrepreneur, and I know Chris is and Lee, and, you know, it's truly inspiring just being around young entrepreneurs. It really is. You get me fired up to want to open up more businesses. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to talk about the lightning round. This is the Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask some questions. They may embarrass you. They may not. But they're coming up, so we'll have a little rapid round of fire right after this commercial break from our sponsors.
Are you praying that your accountant gets you a tax refund this year? If you said yes, then your tax plan has already failed. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get our free no-obligation guide on 6 ways to save money on taxes right now. Make a smart money move today. Go to oxygenfinancial.net and get your free guide today. Securities and Investments Advisory Services offered through NFP Advisory Services, LLC, NFPAS, member FINCR, PIC, Oxygen Financial, not affiliated with NFPAS. NFPAS does not provide tax or legal advice.
Well, thank you to our regulators for having to add those 19 seconds of disclosure. But, you know, that's just part of the industry that I'm in. So if y'all want to decide to get into this industry as an entrepreneur, here's the key word, disclosure. Well, you're back listening to the Shrimp Tank here, brought to you every week on Atlanta Business Radio X from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, and he is the executive director and founder of the KSU School for Center for Entrepreneurship. Things are just blowing up there. And we've got three guests on today, Brittany Lai, Anastasia Roberts, and Caleb Adams, who we got to hear several weeks ago at Mill Creek High School, do an unbelievable job. It was exciting to hear how their businesses have evolved. If you didn't catch the last segment, you have to go to shrimptankpodcast.com. We now want to bring you our lightning round. This is our opportunity to ask you some questions. We'll do a quick go around. I'll let Chris fire this thing off and start our little lightning round here.
All right. Scariest thing about being on Shrimp Tank first time, not this time, but when you pitched in front of all of those people that night, scariest thing.
If my slides messed up, for sure.
For me, I didn't have the clicker, so that was it, messing up with my slides.
That scared you, not having a clicker.
Yes, yes, tremendously.
For me, it was the slides as well. I was afraid that it was going to glitch or something was going to go wrong with that, and then I would just lose everything.
You were more afraid of the slides than Ted.
Yes. No, you didn't be afraid of me. I was a small part of that then. And now we're going to go back to you, Anastasia, on this. Now, the state of Georgia just had about 172 bills that they were going to pass here. I think about 3 of them actually passed. Casinos went down. But how do you feel? Think it was a good idea, bad idea that weed actually got shot down?
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a growing industry. It's on the way in. Just let it in. Monetize it. Come on. Help everybody in the community. That's my feelings.
All right. Well, see that? There's one opinion. What about Anastasia? What do you think? No, you're a plead the fifth on this?
Pleading the fifth.
You know, you only get one of those.
I'll take it.
I won't plead the fifth. I'm on the same boat as Caleb. I do think that it was crazy for Georgia to do that. There are a lot of people who need help, who need legitimate medical help. And it's there's so much money to be made in this industry. It's ridiculous. Eventually.
All right. What surprised you most about pitching in front of all those people? Biggest surprise?
That the kids got it. Even though, so I'm talking from a collegiate perspective, right? I'm speaking about doing hair in a dorm room in a 12 by 10 room with an extra bed in it and all my stuff there with a little sink, but they got it. They understood because there are a few kids in the audience who nodded on with me when I said, yeah, I was also the little kid in the chair getting my hair done by a college student. They resonated with it so quickly, and they felt a need for it too, even in high school. They were excited to possibly have something like that for them when they go to college. So they're not, walking around looking crazy.
Mm, I got to say, it's also the kids and how accepting they were. The ideas we were presenting, they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to, I honestly feel like they felt like they could do the things we're doing. And I think that's the best thing we did there. Mm.
I agree with both of you. We had a young girl who came up to me afterwards who said that I really inspired her with my story. And that really meant a lot to me, and not just as a person, but as an entrepreneur, to know that there are those kids that are out there that are watching and stuff. And, being in front of all those kids didn't intimidate me. That didn't scare me. If anything, I was just really grateful that encouraged somebody. And so I felt like out of everything that I gained from that, that was such a cool moment to know that a young entrepreneur, future entrepreneur, was saying, wow, you inspired me to go out and fight for my dreams. And that was just a really cool moment.
All right. My question is, because I'm asking the silly questions today, what was your most embarrassing moment in college thus far? Now, you realize, Anastasia, you can't plead the fifth because the weed question went down the drain. So you're there's no pleading the fifth here on this one.
One time at a party, I was... All right. This is how this story's starting. I don't mind if people know.
That's
this.
A great line to start it off with. One time at a party. That can't end up.
Well. Actually, he chimed in first on the weed question, too. He jumped in. So this is going to be good. I don't know what's about to happen, but it's about to get awesome.
Moderation is key. I'll start with that. No, I was not being moderate that night. And I jumped off a porch like I thought I was going to jump into a pool. And I basically just hit the ground. But <It's> first. <okay. laughs> Very embarrassing. All my friends were there. Okay. It was fun while I was in the air,
Of course, that's hilarious. So I was in the dining hall my freshman year, it was spring semester, and I had the most complicated order in the dining hall. And I had this Philly cheesesteak filled up my entire plate. I was so excited to eat because I was studying all that day, and I went and I was getting a drink, and this was a packed dining hall, like right around. 3 o'clock on Friday, packed, Snelling. There was a table full of football players there too, right next to it. And I literally went to go get a drink and I dropped my entire tray, my food, my drink that was already on my tray. Everything broke and the entire place started clapping. They started cheering, way to go. God, there were actual tears in that moment, but it was hilarious.
My awkward moment. Oh my gosh, since I can't plead the fifth. So I was pregnant during the summertime with my son, and I was walking out to my car to get my backpack, and my pants split straight off the back. And you're already self-conscious being pregnant enough as it is. And so I just got to get in my car and drive home and completely skip my exam. So I was humiliated because there was a boy who's standing behind me, and I know he saw, and he probably Snapchat that or shared it on Facebook or whatever. But that was definitely my most embarrassing college moment.
That's so funny. All right, let's do one more, and then we want to hear about how people can get in touch with you about your business. Go ahead, we'll do one more.
Your biggest disappointment, if you could go back and redo one thing, what would it be?
Man, this is tough. We got dead air here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll start.
Yeah, because you don't have the fifth. They can just say, they can plead the fifth.
Oh,
you can't.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
So yeah, so I guess it's appropriate for you to start.
In all honesty, and I know this might sound a little cliche, but just not starting my business earlier. I feel like I've wasted quite a few years that I had really good opportunities that I turned away that I probably shouldn't have in terms of starting my business and just going out and doing my own thing. And I just feel like there's been a lot of wasted years. And so I don't really regret much in life, but that is one thing that I wish that I had taken opportunity on before, was just starting early and realizing that we're all people. I mean, you could be a multi-billionaire or you could be making $1,000. We're all people. And so that used to intimidate me, that idea of being an entrepreneur. And once I kind of came over that fear, I realized this is totally something I can do. This is something anybody can do if you just go out and actually do it. And so I just wish I had learned that lesson a little earlier.
For me, it would be not networking as much my freshman year. It's my biggest regret. Networking opens up a billion doors, especially in an environment like UGA where they bring so many important people. Like, actually, this was my sophomore year. I literally had a class where I had just about every vice president from CNN come and sit and literally just have a conversation with us. And I think my biggest regret, even to this day, is not sending that follow-up email to thank them about that and keeping that connection alive.
Mm. See, I'm trying to think of mine, and I could definitely say it's a combination of, you know, inexperience with youth at the beginning of college with this, just like both of you had, I guess, could have taken better advantage of your opportunities. I certainly think that I feel that way as well, and that noticing that is the most important thing. It's just, you've got to notice it soon enough that you have opportunities handed to you every day and you got to start taking advantage of them. And I think once that clicked, then I realized, you know.
Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on the Shrimp Tank today. Just do a quick go around here and let people know if they want to look at your business more or learn more about it. They're a young entrepreneur and they're growing. Caleb, how can they take a look at your business?
www.spacey.io. That's space and then a y.io.
No free hand controller, though. You still got to buy one.
You still got to buy one, yeah.
All right. You guys can check out the Dorm Room Beautician at thedrb.co, thedrb.co. And we are at thedrbco on Twitter and Instagram, the Dorm Room Beautician on Tumblr and Facebook. Follow us.
You can find Nourishing Business Solutions at www.nourishingbusinesssolutions.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming on the program today. And next week, we're going to bring you another bright, unbelievable business owner here on the Shrimp Tank. As always, go listen to a replay on shrimptankpodcast.com. And thank you all for joining us on the Shrimp Tank.